that is like always kind of saying things that convict your heart a little bit, and we don't like it, but she does it anyway. And she's also that one person that if you were in that dark valley and you needed somebody to throw you a lifeline, you would call them and they would be there for you like that quickly. I have a friend who is all of those things. Sharon, will you come and share with us? She is my teacher. She is my friend. She is my Bible leader. And she is going to share with us this morning.
Okay. It's a very wonderful honor for me to be here with you to share some thoughts on the passages that have already been read. But we're going to take an in-look at them. But before we do, I don't do anything without giving it to the Lord. Father, we thank you that we can gather here to really see what you have done for us. Oh, Father, how we praise you for who you are. And Father, may your purpose for this morning be accomplished by you through only a human vessel. It's all in the wonderful name of our risen Savior we pray, in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. I would like to first say that the song Joy to the World is actually a song about the second coming of Christ coming out of Psalm 98. Read those words again and look in that psalm. It's when Christ comes into the world that everything will be restored. But this morning I want to show us that the God we serve is a God of detail. And we see it in this passage of Luke 2. As we start, and we see in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. We see God in the detail here because they hadn't had a census. But in order for Joseph and Mary to be in Bethlehem, which was prophesied hundreds of years before, they went into Bethlehem by God's design. What a father we have, and what a Lord we serve. And as we go on, we see that Joseph and Mary went up from the town of Nazareth. That was quite a journey. But God was the one who had this plan. And as God had this plan and was working in these details, he had you in mind. Because there was no other redemption for man than Christ himself. Then, as we go down in this passage and we look in verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now we are going to see God working in that detail. It wasn't because there was no room in the inn, even though there wasn't. It wasn't any of that. It was because it was God's design where Christ was born. Then as we go on and we see the shepherds that are tending those flocks, these shepherds were under the rabbinical order to take care of those sheep because the lambs that were being born were going to be brought into Jerusalem for sacrifice. They had a very important job, even though in those days the religious leaders didn't have much regard for shepherds. And somehow I think sometimes people in the world that the world gives no importance to are the ones that God really uses. Those shepherds in those fields were watching their flocks, and as those lambs were born, they were brought into a cave. Now, it had to be a lamb without blemish. And when they got the lamb without blemish, they brought it into that cave and wrapped it in cloths and laid it in a hollowed out place where animals would feed, but they used it and they called it a manger and laid that lamb that was going to be sacrificed in that manger. Another detail of God, where he is working this all out, that Jesus Christ was going to be the unblemished Lamb of God that was going to take away the sin of the world. Then as we go down and we see the shepherds as they're out in those fields, tending those flocks, and then suddenly an angel appeared. This angel had declared this wonderful news to them. And it said the glory of God shone round about them, not through the whole countryside, but this glory of God surrounded those shepherds. And it was so heavy with the weight of the glory of God that I'm sure it knocked them to the ground. And it said they were sore afraid. But the angel said, "Fear not." Actually, in the translation, it says, "Stop fearing." How many of us look at a problem in life and we start stressing up and fearing, whether it's illness, change of plans, things that hit us from nowhere that turn our life upside down, and we have a tendency to fear. And I always think about this when the angel said, "Stop fearing." And there's so much I could share about that, but I have to keep moving on. Then the heavens, think of this, the shepherds in that field, all by God's design. And then the company of angels were there, and they were actually the warring angels in their garb, declaring, and it says that the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest." And this weight of the glory of God was there on those shepherds. What a picture we have of what actually took place that night. And then when it goes on, when it says, the angel said to them, "Go, and this will be a sign unto you." What was that sign? When they went in there, they saw this babe wrapped in cloths, like the sacrificial lamb they knew about, and laying in that place, in that manger, that this is the Son of God, the Messiah, the sin offering, the Savior. Oh my goodness, can you imagine what those shepherds felt? How do we feel about it? You know, it's fascinating that this nativity, we call it the nativity, how the world has turned away from it. I'm old enough to remember when the city of Holland had a big nativity in Centennial Park. You remember when it was in Grand Haven, when you saw it everywhere, the nativity. Do you see it now? No, because the world has turned away from the only answer to sin, which is Christ that was born. And what I also think of is this. I think of in Philippians 2, what a picture. Somehow I think as we go through this season, we get so wrapped up in the gifts we have to buy and the parties or the things we have to do, and all our attention is centered there. Actually, for Adrian and I, because he survived COVID, and he was gone for 4.5 months and he wasn't supposed to live. 3 times the doctors told me this is it. But there he is. He was gone 4.5 months. This Christmas, I said, you know what? Forget everything else. Concentrate on what God has done with you in mind when he sent his son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes or cloths. Another thing that enters in here is that when Christ died, he was wrapped in cloths in a borrowed tomb. And when he was a baby, he was wrapped in cloths in a manger, in a borrowed manger. What a picture we have of what Christ has done for you and me. We should never have a day of fear in our life, because when you have a tendency to go down that road of fear, remember what that angel said right from the presence of God. Stop fearing. Because when we're fearing, we're telling an almighty God, I don't think you can handle this. He can handle everything as we see the details that God worked out that his son could be the sin offering for you and I. Man could not reach up to God, so God came down to man where man could touch him. Think of Mary holding the very Son of God, God himself. John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is Christ Jesus. And the Christmas verse in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a gift we have been given. It outshines any gift you can buy for anyone. And this is the gift to mankind that mankind said, don't want it. And how many times have you read this passage of scripture in Luke and really stopped to contemplate God in the details of this, because his overabounding, overriding, we can't even put it in human terms, love for you is so vast, so great in that child that became our sacrifice for sin. The whole purpose is the cross of Christ, the gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And I remember in 2011, Adrian and I were in Israel, and we had the privilege of singing in Israel. And I was 70 years old. Think of that. God doesn't even look at our age, but he looks at our willingness to serve him. And Adrian, we were in the Garden Tomb area, and the stone is rolled back, and I looked in there, and he's not there. And as they were, Adrian helped them serve communion. And as I was looking at that stone rolled away, I said, whatever hits my life. And from that time, a lot of things have hit my life hard. But because that stone is rolled away and he's alive, I do not have to fear, because fear is really a self-centered emotion, because we want to protect ourselves. He is our protector. Amen. He is our Lord. He is the one that's going to walk us through the illness, whatever it is, because in the crucibles of life, we get stronger. And if we open our eyes and we see how he puts blessings in our life every day, but as Satan deceived Eve and took all her attention on that tree in the garden that she wasn't supposed to eat, Satan will put all your attention in something that's a problem in your life, and you don't even see the blessings he puts in your life through people, through situations. He is there, and he never leaves. And I love the writings of Oswald Chambers. When once we see God at work, we will never bother our heads about things that happen, because we are actually trusting in our Father in heaven, whom the world cannot see, but we can see him in the Word. Now, I'm not sure how much time I've got, but I'm going to start winding it up. Be a light, be an ambassador for Christ. And it's fascinating when we have the Holy Spirit living within us, because when we come to him and accept that wonderful gift, his life lives in us. And in that life is love, that we can love the unlovely. Joy, which has nothing to do with happiness, but joy in him through, and I remember that joy when my mother died. That's not a happy experience. That joy, and I can't get time to go through all this, but all that fruit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, it's all living in you. Let it flow out to those around you this season. That's the gift we can give one another. Cannot be wrapped in paper. It's wrapped in the very spirit of the Lord himself as we share him. What a Savior we have. And then I want to close with this. With what Christ has done for you and me, we should never have a down day, because in Philippians 2, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Think of that. The very mighty Father became nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross, because of his great love for you. I'll tell you what, my friends, you and I, the man who went to be with the Lord, I envy him. I envy him because he is seeing the mighty Savior that was in that manger. Think of it. I want you to concentrate on what Christ has done for you. Go through this time of Christmas and ponder, as Mary pondered those things in her heart, ponder them in our heart, what God has done for you and for me. We've got it made. I don't care what happens to us. That life that lives inside, this world cannot touch, because it's the Spirit of the Almighty God. So I pray as you go through this season that you will just ponder these thoughts. Give every day, every moment to him. He has a plan for you. And remember, Satan has one too. Don't let him fulfill that. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He's a powerful Lord. We have been given a powerful gift. And his peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds, is yours when you know him as Savior. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful message that we have. May we be tunnel visioned on what you have done for us, that no matter what hits our life, through it we grow stronger in our faith in you. You are the Savior. You are the Messiah. You are the power for living. Your grace, Father, is a power word. It powers us through whatever hits us. You are a mighty God. And help us to share this with someone this season. And it's all in the name of our risen, powerful Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.